How many of us look forward to this season and, well, feel warm and fuzzy inside, knowing that we're heading into this time of year, when our year's hard work and praying and seeking the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light," what allows us to sit back once a year and enjoy some rewards through this time of celebration, known as Christmas. And yeah, we've heard from some that Christmas is pagan and has some evil roots and isn't all that biblical, but what harm can a little touch of it do here and there? Besides, our children love it so much.
What do you want with me?
You will be haunted by three spirits. I'd rather not.
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Ah! Haunt me no longer!
Ebenezer Scrooge is a fictitious character invented by English writer Charles Dickens, whose book A Christmas Carol was introduced in the early Victorian era in the 19th century. Its object lesson is meant to teach people to share and not to be selfish. But what is Christmas really about? Christians hate it as theirs with their nativity plays and carol singing, while pagans also praise their deity at the exact time period. One claims it is in memorial of the Son of God, and the other says it is in memorial of the Sun God. In this short little study, we are going to set the record straight so that no one is confused and so that we can have a clear distinction between what is Christianity and what is paganism.
Humbug.
Sun worship. It is one of the oldest practices of pagan idolatry on earth that can be traced to every continent and virtually every culture in the pre-Christian world. The oldest culture on earth, Babylon, worshipped the sun whose name was Shamash. He was usually depicted as a circle with eight rays of the sun. Sir E.A. Wallace Budge, one of the greatest antiquity scholars of the 20th century, analyzed many of the Babylonian cylinder seals where Shamash is usually represented as rising between two mountains, for the Babylonians believed that each mountain had a door. When the sun rose in the east, it opened the eastern door in the morning. And when the sun set and disappeared in the west, it went through the western door in the evening. Babylon's younger sister culture, the Assyrians, worshipped the sun whose name was Asher, who was also their chief deity. He was usually depicted as a winged figure in a circle, sometimes with a bow and arrow in artwork when they were going to war. The Assyrians were heavily influenced by both the Babylonian and the Egyptian culture, where the Egyptian sun god, like the Assyrians, was also depicted as a circle with wings. Whether it was titled Ra or the Aten under the Pharaoh Akhenaten, it was the same pagan sun deity. In Volume 1 of History of Ancient Egypt, published in 1881, George Rawlinson, Camden Professor of Ancient History in the University of Oxford, documented how sun worship dominated every aspect of the ancient Egyptian culture. The Egyptians were profoundly religious. All knew that there was one god and understood that when worship was offered to Kem, or Neph, or Ptah, or Maut, or Thoth, or Amun, the one god was worshipped under some one of his forms or in some one of his aspects. Ra was not a sun deity with a distinct and separate existence, but the supreme god acting in the sun, making his light to shine on the earth, warming, cheering, and blessing it, and so Ra might be worshipped with all the titles of honor. No matter what deity was worshipped in Egypt, it represented the sun god. And this pagan idolatry changed the glory of the uncorruptible god into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, the Holy Scripture says. The scarab beetle was one of the most famous of the Egyptian deities. It can be found everywhere. When the beetle rolled dung, the Egyptians superstitiously believed that the beetle was the sky god who was rolling the sun across the heavens. It was viewed as the emissary of the sun and was mentioned in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And nearly every monument, manuscript, or Egyptian artifact, the sun god is depicted with different deities and different pharaohs. In the Americas, the sun god was usually represented in human form, sometimes in a reserved seated position. In Mesoamerica, there were temples dedicated to the sun in places like Teotihuacan in Mexico, and the Aztecs, continuing from their predecessors, offered human sacrifices to him. While all the civilizations mentioned no longer exist, in India, the sun god is still worshipped, and the name is Sura, and mantras or prayers are offered to it. The 13th century AD Konark Sun Temple that is still in use is adorned in its artwork with the same 8-rayed wheel or rays of the sun that was incorporated from the culture of ancient Babylon. The only pre-Christian culture on earth that didn't worship the sun were the children of Israel. And there was one thing that singled them out from all the other nations on earth to prevent them from sinking into pagan idolatry. God said, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. But when the children of Israel strayed from God, it was always the sun that replaced the worship of God. That ball of fire that God created on the fourth day of creation to rule over the day and was for signs and seasons became their God, and this idolatry was unequivocally condemned. God said, "Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east." There was one culture that amalgamated both the Eastern or Oriental culture and the Greek or Western culture into one, the Roman Empire. Having one of the most vast empires, its faithful soldiers were its strength, and it was renowned for its colosseums all over its empire, where its gladiators fought gruesome and bloody battles in its arenas, its entertainment industry or Hollywood of the day. Its famous sun deities were adopted from the east, and it was called Sol, where we get the name solar system. These sun gods from Rome can still be found today. In this monument from ancient Rome, you can see a smiling sun within a wreath. This has now become the logo of the United Nations. The god Mithra was sometimes depicted with the rays of the sun coming out of his head. And this was the gift French Freemasons gave to the United States that is now called the Statue of Liberty. But when Rome was at its height, and when Caesar Augustus restored paganism to its zenith by rebuilding all the pagan temples, one was to be born that was to counteract the pagan idolatry of ancient Rome. Prince Emmanuel, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Persecution, Christians were detected by not decorating their houses at the Saturnalia. pagan Roman winter solstice festival. Roman pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated between December 17th through 25th. During this period, Roman courts were closed, and Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during the week-long celebration. The festival began when Roman authorities chose an enemy of the Roman people to represent the, quote, Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected a victim who they forced to indulge in food and other physical pleasures throughout the week. At the festival's conclusion, December 25th, Roman authorities believed that they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering this innocent man or woman. The ancient Greek writer, poet, and historian Lucian, in his dialogue entitled Saturnalia, describes the festival's observance in his time. In addition to human sacrifice, he mentions three customs: widespread intoxication, going from house to house while singing naked, rape and other sexual license, and consuming human-shaped biscuits. In the 4th century, Catholicism imported the Saturnalia festival, hoping to take the pagan masses in with it. Catholic leaders succeeded in converting to Catholicism large numbers of pagans by promising them that they could continue to celebrate the Saturnalia as Christians. The Catholic leaders named Saturnalia's concluding day, December 25th, to be Jesus' birthday. Sol Invictus. Dies Natalis Solis Invicti. Birthday of the Unconquered Sun. The rebirth of the Sun God. December 25th was a Roman civil holiday, also honoring the cult of Sol Invicta, with its origins in Syria and the monotheistic cult of Mithras. Christmas, the Mass of Christ. In the 5th century, the Western Church ordered it to be celebrated forever on the day of the Roman feast, Sol Invictus. Stephen Nissenbaum, professor of history at the University of Massachusetts, Amherst, writes, quote, in return for ensuring massive observance of the anniversary of the Savior's birth, by assigning it to this resonant date, the Catholic Church, for its part, tacitly agreed to allow the holiday to be celebrated more or less the way it had always been. The earliest Christmas holidays were celebrated by drinking, sexual indulgence, singing naked in the streets, a precursor of modern caroling. Some of the most depraved customs of the Saturnalia Carnival were intentionally revived by the Catholic Church in 1466, when Pope Paul II forced Jews to race naked through the streets of the city. An eyewitness account reports, quote, before they were to run, the Jews were richly fed, so as to make the race more difficult for them, and at the same time more amusing for the spectators. They ran amid Rome's taunting shrieks and peals of laughter, while the Holy Father stood upon a richly ornamented balcony and laughed heartily. As part of the Saturnalia Carnival throughout the 18th and 19th centuries, rabbis of the ghetto in Rome were forced to wear clownish outfits and march through the city streets to the jeers of the crowd, pelted by a variety of missiles. When the Jewish community of Rome sent a petition in 1836 to Pope Gregory XVI, begging him to stop the annual Saturnalia abuse of the Jewish community, he responded, "It is not opportune to make any innovation." It was during the period of the ascendancy of the Roman Empire that Christ Mass originated. Consequently, we find that pagan Roman customs play the major part in fixing its date and characteristics. Its general season, however, was later found to coincide with important religious superstitions of the North European barbarians, who also worshipped the sun and marked the solstice. And this too played a large part in its development. Alfred Hoetz, Christmas Fact and Fancy. The Catholic Encyclopedia itself says, quote, the well-known solar feast of Natalis Invicti, celebrated on December 25th, has a strong claim for the responsibility of our Christmas date. The Encyclopedia Americana says, in the 5th century, the Western Church ordered Christmas to be celebrated forever on the day of the old Roman feast of the birth of Sol. Christmas seems to have first appeared in the Roman Church after the middle of the 4th century. At a somewhat later period, it spread into Eastern Asia. It was not received with equal readiness by all the churches. Some denounced it as an innovation. It was not till the 6th century that anything like unanimity prevailed as to the day to be observed. From the Abbot Conant Dictionary of Religious Knowledge, after the barbarians were Christianized, all the customs and superstitions which had belonged from time immemorial to their own Yuletide began to cluster about Christmas. When the season calls up in the mind crackling fires on the hearth, lighted candles, rooms adorned with evergreens, bright berries and flowers, feast and frolic, these are the genuine pagan elements. The manner in which this festival came to be observed in the Romish Church, and through it to the other churches, is as follows. In this season of the year, a series of heathen festivals occurred. These festivals had an import which easily admitted of being spiritualized and transformed into a Christian sense. First came the Saturnalia, which represented the Golden Age and abolished for a while the distinction of ranks. Then came the custom peculiar to this season of making presents, afterwards transferred to the Christmas festival. After the Saturnalia came the festival of infants, Juvenalia, at which the children were presented with images. Next came a festival still more analogous to Christmas, that of the shortest day, Brumalia, the winter solstice, the birthday of the new sun, about to return once more toward the earth. Hence the celebration of the Nativity of Christ was transferred to December 25th. In the Romish Church, Christmas is a very high festival. From the Abbot Conant Dictionary of Religious Knowledge. In New England, for the first two centuries of white settlement, most people did not celebrate Christmas. In fact, the holiday was systematically suppressed by Puritans during the colonial period and largely ignored by their descendants. It was actually illegal to celebrate Christmas in Massachusetts between 1659 and 1681. The fine was 5 shillings. Only in the middle of the 19th century did Christmas gain legal recognition as an official public holiday in New England. Stephen Nissenbaum, The Battle for Christmas. We have no superstitious regard for times and seasons. Certainly we do not believe in the present ecclesiastical arrangement called Christmas. First, because we do not believe in the Mass at all, but abhor it, whether it be sung in Latin or in English. And secondly, because we find no scriptural warrant whatever for observing any day as the birthday of the Savior, and consequently, its observance is a superstition, because not of divine authority. Superstition has fixed most positively the day of our Savior's birth, although there is no possibility of discovering when it occurred. It was not till the middle of the 3rd century that any part of the Church celebrated the Nativity of our Lord, and it was not till very long after the Western Church had set the example that the Eastern adopted it. Probably the fact that the quote holy days were arranged to fit in with the heathen festivals. We venture to assert that if there be any day in the year of which we may be pretty sure that it was not the day on which the Savior was born, it is the 25th of December. Charles Spurgeon, from the sermon entitled Joy Born at Bethlehem, delivered on Sunday morning, December 24th, 1871. From the same sermon, how absurd to think we could do it in the spirit of the world, with a Jack Frost clown, a deceptive worldly Santa Claus, and a mixed program of sacred truth with fun, deception, and fiction. If it be possible to honor Christ in the giving of gifts, I cannot see how, while the gift, the giver, and recipient are all in the spirit of the world. The Catholics and High Church Episcopalians may have their Christmas one day in 365, but we have a Christ gift the entire year. Deuteronomy 12:31-32. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Catholic Church who set the date for the holy day. In 350 AD, Pope Julius I declared December 25th the official date of Christ's Mass. It is the religious meaning, not the secular, that has value in terms of Christmas. The word Christmas is derived from two words, Christ and Mass. Etymology. Christmas is a compound word originating in the term Christ's Mass. Mass, the service of the Romish Church, the office or prayers used at the celebration of the Eucharist, the consecration of the bread and wine. These are idolatrous and blasphemous rituals in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice once for all, forever. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For this reason alone, a born-again Christian should disregard this Roman Catholic, quote, holy day, or holiday. We have joy in the new birth, forgiven in Christ Jesus every day. Consider this 1687 quote from Increase Mather of Boston. Quote, the early Christians who first observed the Nativity on December 25th did not do so thinking that Christ was born in that month, but because the heathen Saturnalia was at that time kept in Rome, and they, the Catholics, were willing to have those pagan holidays metamorphosed into Christian ones. Christmas was banned by the Puritans, and its observance was illegal in Massachusetts between 1659 and 1681, precisely because of its known pagan origins. Luke 16:15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You are free to celebrate Catholic holidays with pagan roots, along with the lost and dying world who love and adore the season, but is it profitable? Does it please God? What agreement are we to have with Rome, with heathens? Does God give a wink and a nod like Santa Claus when we take the ways of the heathen and claim to be using them to worship him? No. Unlike Santa Claus, he is holy. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. It is a very serious thing to presume that Almighty God is fine with any way in which we choose to worship him based on our feelings or traditions. His word says he is a jealous God, Exodus 34:14, and that he does not change, Malachi 3:6. He has also commanded us to be separate and set apart from that which has any appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. We do not get to simply choose our own adventure when worshiping the Creator of the universe. We are to honor and obey his word and stay separate from the ways of the heathen, especially when it comes to worshiping and praising God. What did the Lord God think of Aaron's attempt to justify the sin of idolatry and spiritual whoredom by claiming it was, quote, a feast unto the Lord? Exodus 32:3, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 5, Aaron claims that what they are doing, quote, is a feast to the Lord. Were they crazy? No, he was justifying their sin, his sin, and saying, in a sense, it's okay, it's really for God. Was he being truthful? No, because Almighty God called it corruption and sin, and they were judged. Exodus 32, 35, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf, which Aaron made. God has gone to many great lengths to deliver the example in his word that his people are not to use the ways of the heathens, the pagans, in their worship of him. Deuteronomy 20:17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. Many professing Christians know that December 25th is not Christ's birthday, but that it is instead a feast day throughout history, which is marked to this day by pagan sun god worship and Wiccan winter solstice observance.
For most people, it's Christmas season, but we ain't most people. So for us, it is you. And so I would like to read from the Book of Shadows about Yule. Let's see if I can find this page in a somewhat timely fashion. I bet you anything I can't. This is the Book of Shadows. Now, Yule, it lands, right by Christmas. Now, I really wonder, how come pagan holidays happen to be right by Christian ones and have the same exact traditions? Okay, my friends, I'm here to spin a little tale for you. When the Christians came to Europe and started to spread their religion, no one really wanted to convert over to it completely, because they had been pagans for so long, it was all they ever knew, and they liked being pagans, not penguins. I'm sorry. You know, it made sense to them. So they had to find out a way to make the pagans... this is awful, slowly transition over into Christianity. And the way that they did this, they had a few ways, but one of them was to take the pagan holidays and make them into Christian ones. So winter solstice was on the 21st or 22nd, and they decided to say that the birth of Jesus Christ was on the 25th. So in other words, it wasn't the same exact holiday, but then they took all of the traditions from paganism, like the red and green, you know, the colors, the tree, everything, and move it over to Christmas. And that is why Christians have trees at Christmas time. That is, you know, the only reason is because of pagans. So I guess we're trendsetters. I don't know.
They know that the lost souls of the world, even practicing witches, love to celebrate these holy days.
In the names of the god and the goddess, bidding you welcome to this their temple.
I consecrate thee in the names of the god and the goddess. Oh, yeah.
A little bit of green.
Right. We're doing for winter solstice, Yule. We want to share with you guys the origins and the similarities between the Christian Christmas and Yule. Because a lot of times there are people who come into the craft not thinking, is it okay to celebrate Christmas?
So can I celebrate Christmas?
Yeah.
It's such an ingrained part of our culture, especially if you grew up Christian, or just secular, really.
Right.
It's so ingrained in our lives, really.
And you do not need to give up your holidays.
No.
Not at all. Because you have to remember, keep in mind, they got them from us.
Yeah.
So.
Like I told you earlier, my favorite quote I saw was the only thing Christian about Christmas is the name.
Right.
Because, like with many other of our Sabbaths, they use symbolism that was already being used by the pagan cultures.
Right.
That's how you get people to come to you, right, by usurping
the symbols. It was a great technique. You don't have to give up all your customs. You can still celebrate.
Yeah.
And for us, we really benefit the most because we get to celebrate twice.
To be able to celebrate Yule and Christmas at the same time. Yes. I celebrate both of them.
I do too.
Hey, double the presents.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Pal, I'm glad I could be here.
This holiday is yours. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
Holiday Special will continue in a moment.
But they say in defense, I know what I'm celebrating. I know what it means to me. God knows what's in my heart. Yes, he does. Nahum 1:2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Roman Catholic Church is the enemy of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. They present a false Christ. What fellowship can the saved have with Rome and her unholy doctrines of death? We are commanded not to. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The question is not why would you not partake in these Catholic and ecumenical, quote, holy days and seasonal heathen festivals, but rather, why would you? The answer is tradition.
Are you in the spirit of Christmas tonight? All right. Welcome, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show. All right, everybody.
Shopping centers all aglow, Santa Claus is ho, ho, ho. That's what I love about Christmas. Decorations everywhere, magic seems to fill the air. And that's what I love about Christmas. Christmas, houses all lit up with lights, candles burning in the night. That's what I love about Christmas. Voices ring with shouts of glee and presents underneath the tree. And that's what I love about Christmas. Christmas. The hustle bustle, shoppers rustle, choirs singing, church bells ringing, mailing out the greeting cards, the snowman standing in the yard. All these things we hold so dear make our worries disappear, and that's what we love about Christmas.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Here we go. Merry Christmas to everybody. You know what? Sounds good to me.
You guys sound great.
Hey, how you doing?
Did you ever think there would be two Paul Todds?
Singing with the radio to the Christmas songs that we know. That's what I love like Christmas. Christmas. Stringing popcorn on the tree. Eggnog for you and me. And that's what I love about Christmas. The hustle, bustle, shoppers rustle, choirs singing, church bells ringing, mailing out the greeting cards to snowman standing in the yard. All these things we hold so dear make our worries disappear, and that's what we love about Christmas. That's what we love about Christmas. Christmas. That's what we love.
How about a hand for my son, Mr. Paul Todd Jr.?
1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Galatians 4:8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Yes, we have liberty in Christ Jesus, but obedience is not bondage. Doing that which will please our holy God is our reasonable service, and it is in obedience to the Scriptures. Once the contrast between truth and lies has been established, we must choose. Separate. We will answer for obedience or disobedience based on God's word, not our feelings.
I know you love Christmas and you want it to be all about what it's all about.
Here we have Captain Picard.
I keep saying Christmas Eve, but you've probably noticed that. It's because a lot of the Christmas things come from pagan traditions. You're going to hear everybody rattling on about this at the moment. So Christmas traditional things that you do, like bringing in a Christmas tree, they all come from pagan roots. So a lot of the things that are available to you now, like all Christmas decorations, they're going to be suitable for you to use in a pagan ritual, such as your Christmas tree. It's a Yule tree.
There's Perk in his captain's chair.
Any beloved tradition or activity that we hold onto so tightly may indeed be idolatry. Santa Claus is based on many lies. That is why so many born-again Christians call him Satan Claus. After all, Satan was called the father of lies by our Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Surprisingly, many professing Christians do not have a problem with promoting the lies which Santa Claus, Satan Claus, are all based. Beyond the fact that there is no fat, omniscient elf being with flying reindeer, there are more serious lies, blasphemous lies of omission being told. Many, like Kirk Cameron, would like to promote and even sell the idea that Saint Nicholas was a Christian, as he has done in his film Saving Christmas. They claim this is just one reason why we should ignore history, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit, to then embrace Santa Claus and believe in modern, Christianized, revised definitions of any and all Christmas traditions. Was Saint Nicholas a Christian? Is that true? Or was he a Roman Catholic bishop? Millions of martyred, true saints know the difference. If they took a softer, gentler, less honest approach to the absolute truth in God's word, they would have lived longer lives, perhaps Christianized a few pagan holidays to spread the false word too. What were they thinking? Kirk's ilk must think they should have lightened up and not been such Scrooges or Grinches. Maybe they knew that the Roman Empire, the Catholic Church, is the whore of Babylon depicted in Revelation 17. Maybe they cared more about pleasing God and remaining faithful to his word than pleasing men. Maybe they didn't fear those who could kill the body, as Jesus warned. Luke 12:4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Roman Catholic Church preaches another gospel. They are accursed. Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Bible-believing born-again Christians are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are not called to take the unfruitful works of darkness and make them Christian, but rather reprove them. You can't reprove them and celebrate them at the same time. You can't take a lie and use it to, quote, spread the gospel. And why should we? For the sake of the traditions of men, is God's word made of no effect? God's word is powerful. Satan's lies are weak when compared to the truth of Jesus Christ. He does not need help from Satan to spread the gospel. But when professing Christians mingle the truth with Satan's lies, he, Satan that is, gains the advantage, not Christ. It's compromise. And when popular and quirky professing Christians like Kirk Cameron mix the lies with some truth, it can do even more for Satan, because it is sin to ignore what you know is the truth in order to gain more ground in the world's eyes. That is worldly pragmatism. James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There is no such thing as biblical pragmatism. There is truth and there are lies. Santa Claus is based on evil pagan lies. He is an amalgamation of mythic pagan gods mixed with more modern lore about a Catholic bishop. Legend records that during the pagan festival of Yule in December, Odin, the Viking god of war, would fly through the night sky, leading a group of spirit creatures in an event called the Wild Hunt, with his hunting cry of, "Ho, ho!" Odin rides Sleipnir, a magical horse with 8 legs. Santa Claus flies through the night sky on a sleigh with 8 magic reindeer, laughing, "Ho, ho, ho!" In many early depictions outside of the USA, Santa had a devilish and evil servant named Nechtruprecht, or Krampus. When St. Nicholas and Krampus, or Nechtruprecht, arrived on St. Nicholas Eve, December 5th, the children were asked to perform dancing or singing tricks. Good children would receive gifts from St. Nicholas. Bad children would be beaten and whipped by Ruprecht. If they were really naughty, they would be carried off by him in his sack to hell. These are only a few examples of the dark, satanic, and pagan history associated with this Catholic holiday. But just as many problems exist with the Americanized version of Santa Claus.
Here, will this help?
It is sinful to lie to children about this false god, who, quote, sees you when you are sleeping, knows when you are naughty and nice, is all-powerful, and brings gifts to mankind from on high. Those who are bad get brimstone, coal, that is. Little devils or elves are his helpers. Santa has white hair, wears a red vesture, and comes in the clouds like a thief in the night. These sound like the characteristics of God on his throne and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mockery of truth. But even before the mythical Santa Claus was an entrenched part of the folly-filled festival, most Bible-believing Christians were against celebrating the sinful pagan holiday. In a promotional video clip released on November 5th, 2014, called "Do You Love Santa Claus?", Cameron opines that, quote,
"And then there's others who are informing us that Christmas actually is nothing but a pagan holiday. And they tell us that our Christmas trees should just be thrown out the window and we should celebrate a completely different time of year. Now, this can get really confusing. It's definitely not helping our kids. So, what should we do? Maybe we need a voice from the outside, a word from someone who can remind us what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Because maybe we've got the story wrong. Or maybe we're just listening to the wrong people. Or maybe, just maybe, someone like Santa Claus is actually on our team?"
Soon after, he released a follow-up video promotion detailing the history of the figure of Santa Claus, the Roman Catholic Bishop Nicholas of Myra, Turkey, under Pope Sylvester. Even if Saint Nicholas was a saved man, later claimed by the Roman Catholics as their own symbol, what does he have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ and this pagan winter solstice being combined? More importantly, what does Jesus Christ have to do with this witch's sabbat called Yule, or the lusty pagan Roman feast of Saturnalia? Would this same Nicholas be pleased that God is being mocked by this combination of the holy with the profane? Not if he was a child of the living God.
Let's give thanks to the Lord above.
Call Santa Claus comes tonight.
For Anastasia, how about a new flute? Oh, and for Gisella, singing lessons, of course. Oh, and I can't forget Lucifer. Oh, and I can't forget Lucifer.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Hurry!
I can't ever forget Lucifer.
There you go.
Mommy.
You know, all of the failing political systems, the documents founded to strip all our freedoms.
But do you recall the most hopeful message of all? The biblical truth researcher had a hungry heart to know, trusting the cause to share it would surely be the way to go. All of the other sheeple used to laugh and call us names. They never let our righteous join in any governance ways. So from foggy history, Satan rose to stay. The faithless dying left and right fell to Yahweh's sword in fright. Then all the lukewarm listened, giving Yah his due glory. Biblical truth researchers, you'll go down in history.
How many Christians are still observing Christmas after all that's been available to learn about it in recent years? Are they faithful to their Heavenly Father, or are they faithful to the beast system? Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth down a tree out of the forest, they deck it with silver and gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it doesn't move. Learn not the way of the heathen. Cut your umbilical cord to that beast system. Pull the plug on those wickedly disguised holy days. Be faithful to Yahweh, my friends. Observe His holy days. Trust in Him. Our children are being destroyed under these deceptions, my friends. Are not their lives and freedoms more important than their toys? Now let's all try again, shall we? And let's give all glory to Yahweh, that He might be merciful to these our children in these times.